In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, and hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Being delivered for our offenses, he was raised again because of our justification, and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Let us pray. O Lord, almighty God and Father, for Jesus' sake, who of old didst declare, even to your old age I am he, and even to hoar hairs will I carry you, I have made, and I will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you. We thank thee that according to thy promise, thou hast for so many years shown our departed sister Sharon innumerable proofs of thy faithfulness and mercy. We thank thee that thou hast granted her ample time for reflection upon thy merciful kindness to the fallen children of men in Christ Jesus, and for repentance unto salvation, and that thou hast given her to drink of that well of water which springeth up into everlasting life, the refreshing gospel of salvation to quench her sin-parched soul. And we thank thee now especially that thou hast of thy mercy delivered her from all the tribulations and sufferings of this present life, and received her into the rest and peace of thy heavenly kingdom. Grant unto us all, we beseech thee, that we may make ready for the unknown hour of our death, and for a blessed departure from this world by sincere contrition and repentance for all our sins, by childlike confidence of our forgiveness alone by thy grace for Christ's sake, and by joyful hope or anticipation of thy sure promises. And at the last, do thou in love deliver our souls from the valley of the shadow of temporal death, and let us fall asleep in peace to obtain the crown of everlasting glory, which is laid up in heaven for all true believers in Jesus Christ, thy dear Son, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Hear now with devout attention of your hearts the words of Holy Scripture in the Apostle Peter's first general epistle, chapter 1, verse 3 through 9, as follows. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. St. Paul also writes in his first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 4, verse 13 through verse 18, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent, that is, come before them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Jesus said, as his words are recorded in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 1 through 6, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Thus far the edifying and comforting words of Holy Scripture. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our dear Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text of God's word for our special meditation this morning is recorded in John chapter 10, verses 27 and 28, where the Lord Jesus says the following. My sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. This is our text. In the name of Jesus Christ, our dear Redeemer, our precious Good Shepherd, and the wondrous joy of our hearts. Your brother John, Tim and Julianne, Janelle and Tom, other relatives, friends, and Christian brethren of our departed sister Sharon. The 23rd Psalm of David was one of Sharon's favorite passages of God's word that I shared with her at her bedside. Not because of the sentimentality associated with its picturesque language, not because of the emotions it evokes in those who invariably associate it with death and with funerals, having seen it printed out on countless cards and memorial folders. And not because it might have been one of the last words of Holy Scripture to be read over her mortal remains as they will be laid to rest in the bosom of the earth. No, it was because, as she herself often told me, it was her own testimony expressed in the best language possible, that is, in the words which the Holy Ghost teacheth, that she was, by grace, a sheep of the Lord Jesus, her Savior, and that she really needed nothing else than that. That her good shepherd nurtured her, cared for her, strengthened her, and preserved her in the true faith unto salvation, and enabled her to walk in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake because of everything that he had and was still doing for her as evidence of her faith. All of this by means of his precious gospel, and that he would abide with her and comfort and protect her even unto the end, and see her safely through the wilderness of this world into the mansions of heaven, where she would dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This was Sharon's faith. This was Sharon's confidence. And it is for this reason that I chose the text before us for our special meditation this morning. Although St. Paul writes to the Galatians, chapter 3, verse 26, ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, many people go through life under the self-delusion that everybody in the whole world is a child of God, and therefore an heir of everlasting life in heaven. In fact, most arrogantly assume that if they live an outwardly decent life, and if they do the best they can to be downright upright in this world, God will reward them with a place in glory. This is, of course, patently false, according to the infallible, inerrant word of our God, which indicts all mankind as it does, for example, in Psalm 14, verse 3, saying they are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. They don't just make mistakes. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And God, according to his divine justice, doesn't expect us to do our best. God, according to his justice, demands perfection of every human being, declaring that the wages of sin, that which we deserve and have earned for ourselves by our sins, is death. Not just temporal death at the end of this life, but eternal death in the fires of hell. A patent unbeliever, of course, will contradict God to his face and throw his words right back at him and deny what he plainly says in his word. But God will not be mocked. And living in a perpetual state of denial will not relieve the wicked of sin's wages. When he dies, he will have hell to pay for his unbelief. For Jesus himself declares, "He that believeth not shall be damned." And there is no way to sugarcoat that, is there? The sheep of the Good Shepherd, however, Jesus says, "Hear my voice." That's what his true sheep do, in contrast to the bogus sheep who only give lip service to his name, to his word, to his church, to his vicarious atonement, to the propitiation he rendered to God's justice for our sins, to his blessed cause. Jesus' true sheep hear his indicting law, first of all, which convicts them and all men of their sins, so that even his true sheep recognize in deep humility and with genuine contrition that they are poor, miserable, wretched, helpless sinners, deserving by nature of nothing but God's wrath and displeasure, death and damnation. Such a confessed, poor, miserable, wretched sinner was our dear sister Sharon, who happily confessed her sins with me every time we visited together, knowing, of course, that they had been forgiven and cleansed by the blood of her Savior. But after they have hit bottom with that humbling knowledge, they also hear his voice, Jesus says, declaring the gospel message of God's love for all the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Apostle John writes in his first epistle, "Herein is love." This is what real love is all about. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, the payment of complete satisfaction of God's justice for our sins. 1 John 4, verse 10. Christ perfectly fulfilled the demands which God's law makes of us, earning for us perfect righteousness that is imputed to us before the throne of God, that is regarded by God to be our righteousness for Jesus' sake. And Jesus took upon himself our guilt and suffered all of our punishment, so that God could declare us to be completely pardoned because of what Jesus accomplished in our stead. To hear his voice, to hear of that general amnesty for all the world from our Good Shepherd's voice, to rejoice in its unspeakably great comfort to us, and to cling to it in childlike, God-wrought faith as our own best news, makes us God's children by faith in Christ Jesus. Makes us Christ's sheep and members of his sheepfold by faith in his merits. On the other hand, those who refuse to hear his voice, those who despise the preaching and teaching of his word, those who refuse even to heed the admonition of fellow sheep when they bring needed correction from the Holy Scriptures, are not the true sheep of Jesus, even though they confess his name and talk the talk. My sheep, says Jesus, hear my voice. Those who don't are not his true sheep. Those who turn away their ears from the hearing of his word, the Bible says even their prayer shall be an abomination to him. Jesus said to the unbelieving Jews of his day, he that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. John 8:47. I know them. I know my sheep, says Jesus. You see, his sheep are more than mere numbers on some divine database. He knows each and every one of his sheep by name, the Bible tells us. And their names are written in the book of life. Fear not, he assures every true believer through his prophet Isaiah. Chapter 43, verse 1, which incidentally was Sharon's confirmation text 40 years ago. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Sharon K. Mensing is just such a name. The name of a true believing sheep of her good shepherd. The name of a diligent and faithful hearer of his voice, and an avid learner of his precious word. Sharon rejoiced to hear her shepherd's voice again and again, and to be reassured that she was his dear sheep. And although she had not memorized this answer particularly from her catechism, she well knew the question which we frequently discuss together. Are you sure that you, Sharon, will enter into eternal life? And her short answer was, yes, I sure am, because Jesus promises me, because I live, ye shall live also. And she happily followed closely along as I recited the longer version of that answer, as some of you may still remember it from your catechetical instruction. I firmly believe that as God has in time called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. Even so, he has from eternity chosen me unto the adoption of children and to everlasting life. And no man shall pluck me out of his hand. And Jesus says, of his sheep, they follow me. The Apostle James warns in his general epistle that many are hearers of the word and not doers. Profession is not faith. Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. This means, first and foremost, that we truly believe in him as our precious Savior. Jesus says, this is the work of God. This is what God wants us to do, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. But a dead faith is like an unproductive, barren fruit tree. It's no faith at all. And Jesus' true sheep are recognized by the way they follow him, bringing forth the fruits of a living faith in abundance to the glory not of themselves, but to the glory of his grace in Christ Jesus. And when such sheep die in the Lord and rest from their labors, as we read in Revelation 14, 13, their works do follow them as recognizable tributes to their Savior, as lasting monuments to the power of his grace in their lives. And Jesus says, I give unto them eternal life. Note that the crown of everlasting life in heaven, worn even now by our dear Sharon, is not earned by Jesus' sheep, not even by their hearing of his voice, not even by their following him, because salvation is the gift of God, Paul writes to the Ephesians, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is a crown of glory purchased and won for us by our Savior and our Good Shepherd, not with gold or silver, the way we pay for stuff here in this wicked old world, but with his holy, precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death. It is the victor's crown, the Bible tells us. Not a crown that Christ's sheep earned and therefore deserve, but the crown that he won for them by defeating sin and death and the devil in their place, in their stead. And so we declare with the Apostle Paul, thanks be unto God, thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Paul writes to Titus. And they, Christ's true sheep, shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. God gave his only begotten Son to be our Redeemer, our Savior, our incomparably good Shepherd, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, Jesus tells us, John 3:16. And Jesus said to Mary and Martha, at the tomb of their brother Lazarus, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. That is, according to the original Greek of the text, shall not die eternally. And that's why our dear Sharon could so confidently pray with the psalmist, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. No one, not even the devil himself, can pluck one of the Savior's true sheep out of his hand. Not because of some imagined carnal security, which can easily lull us into spiritual indifference and complacency, but because Christ's true sheep are constantly fed in the green pasturage and the still waters of his gospel, are nurtured and strengthened by the hearing of his voice to resist the devil, the world, and their own sinful, weak, sniveling, and oft-times rebellious flesh. And they follow him in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, because of who he is and because of what he has done for us and for all mankind. As evidence of their living faith, of the faith that not only gives them life, but makes them rejoice in their life as sheep of the Good Shepherd. Who indeed shall separate us from the love of Christ? St. Paul asks. And then he lists practically every adversity that could conceivably assail us here in this life. And Sharon knew what tribulations were. And Paul says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, not even the devil's angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, the sufferings of this present time, nor things to come, our unknown future here in this world, nor height when we're feeling up, nor depth when we're feeling down and sad, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This was Sharon's God-wrought confidence, on account of which she had no fear of death whatsoever, but actually looked forward to it as the door to heaven, the open door for Jesus' sake, anticipated and longed for as what she wanted most of all. May that also be our confidence, as we hold fast in saving faith to Christ, our precious Redeemer and the Good Shepherd of our souls, who hear his voice, who follow him to the glory that shall be revealed in us for his precious name's sake. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all human understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through abiding faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Sharon K. Menzing was born Sharon K. Fender on December 12, 1940, in Moline, Illinois. The eldest of three children born to Harold F. and Vera L. Fender. Already in infancy, she was received into the kingdom of God's grace in holy baptism, thus becoming a child of God and an heir of everlasting life. After finishing elementary school, she attended the United Township High School in East Moline, and thereafter briefly the Moline Community College. On July 16, 1966, she was united in marriage with John Paul Menzing, then quartered at the U.S. Naval Air Station in Glenview, Illinois. With John, she lived in wedded love and faithfulness for over 51 years until her recent death, when the Lord himself parted them. Their marriage was blessed with two children, Timothy John, currently residing in North Carolina, and Julianne Kay, who lives in nearby Orland Park. As an adult, Sharon was carefully instructed in the chief parts of Christian doctrine and was confirmed and received into the communicant membership of Peace Evangelical Lutheran Church, now of Oak Forest, on October 16, 1977, where she, by God's grace, continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers with her Christian brethren. In spite of church controversies and resulting breaches in Christian fellowship that occurred from time to time over the years, Sharon, together with John, remained faithful to God's precious word and to the confession of her Savior's name as continuing members of our congregation. Until the time of her death, early this past Wednesday morning, Sharon had been enduring with quiet patience the loving chastening of the Lord for 4.5 years, in and out of nursing facilities and hospitals, suffering injuries and physical debilitation due to a combination of illnesses and medical neglect, to the point that she was no longer mobile and was confined permanently to her bed in a nursing home. Nevertheless, by God's grace, she continued in the love of her Savior and looked forward to relief from the sufferings of this present time into the peace, rest, and glory of heaven. Her care and advocacy occupied the full-time attention of her husband, John, who was regularly at her side, looking after her every need. Her pastor regularly ministered to her spiritual needs, and while she was still able to receive nourishment by mouth, she frequently partook of the Lord's Supper for the remission of her sins and for strength to battle her flesh and to bear her afflictions. Clinging only to her Savior's merits, for whose sake God reconciled the whole world of sinners unto himself, Sharon peacefully fell asleep in Jesus at the age of 76 years to inherit by grace the kingdom prepared for her from the foundation of the world. Sharon leaves behind her loving husband John, her son Timothy and daughter Julianne and their respective spouses, her brother David Fender and his wife, her sister, David Fender and his wife, her sister Janelle Fender Haar and her husband, two grandsons, Cody Menzing and Brandon Geringer, a loving aunt, Lila Bell Findlay, dear nephews, nieces, a brother-in-law, sisters-in-law, and other relatives, Christian brethren, and friends. Her mortal remains will be laid to rest immediately following this service in the Chapel Hill Gardens South, Oak Lawn, there to await the resurrection of the flesh on the last day, when her body, together with those of all true believers in Christ, will be raised incorruptible, reunited with their souls, and received into the mansions of heaven. Almighty God, dear Heavenly Father, for Jesus' sake, we thank thee that through the washing of regeneration thou didst bring our beloved sister Sharon, already as an infant, to saving faith in thy dear Son, nurtured her throughout her earthly life, and kept her in the true faith through thy word and the precious sacraments, and finally granted her a blessed and peaceful end according to thy promise. And we beseech thee, help us by thy Holy Spirit rightly to know and to lament our sins, and to be so strengthened in our faith in Christ Jesus that in all things we may grow up into him who is the head of the church, evermore praising thee in newness of life and cheerfully awaiting the glorious appearing of the great God, even our Savior Jesus Christ, in whose blessed name we further pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.